Jill!
Barry!
Jill!
This is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for August 18th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. Welcome back to The Boop Show. This is B-O-O-P. I'm Scott. And I'm not OP. That much I know for sure. It's the seventh episode of this show, and we are right in it, man. We're in it to win it. I am always on the hunt for a quality iOS RPG experience. This is not always easy, right? But nonetheless, I look, I dig. And sometimes I find what I want, sometimes I don't. Found what I thought was something I'd love. It combined my love of Match 3, which I know is being done to death, but, you know, Bejeweled is the master. At some point you have to bow to it, right? And admit how rad it was. And character progression and loot and killing stuff, right? Two of my favorite things combined into one in an app called Spellfall, which is fantastic, that game. I have it on the iPad. So good. Until you realize how terribly implemented their microtransaction / free-to-play model stuff is. It is abominable. How many games do you play where if you die and you maybe want to resume, it will pop up and say, use a gem to resume here, and those gems can be hard-earned or they can be paid for with cash? I don't mind those so much because you can earn them. This game skips that completely. Not only do you have diminishing life the entire time you're on, unless you want to get off for 50 minutes and let your life recharge, but when you die, a pop-up gets up in your face and says, you want to keep going? And I'm like, oh, I know what this is. 99 cents to keep going. No option for any kind of weird game currency, none of that. Nothing you could have earned. It is straight up, pay us a buck and you can continue. Or turn off your tablet for a half an hour to an hour and let everything regenerate. Again, not a totally uncommon way of dealing with these games, but I hate that mod or that mode, that whole like timed refresh energy replenishment bullcrap. They did an article on Kotaku about this game, and they had this great quote that I want to share here. This is about Spellfall, which, again, otherwise, fantastic game. If they go back and reheat this thing, fix these problems, come back to me, man. Open arms right here. Because I love what you're dealing there. Graphics are awesome. Concept is great. Progression and just sort of the feel of it all, it's all good. It's a video game. But that pay model is bonkers. Here's the quote on Kotaku. I have no problem giving a studio money for a free-to-play game. The key is making me feel like I don't have to. That's the freaking key. That's all you have to do right there.
Hey, Scott. My name is Tyler, and I'm calling in regard to gaming backlog. With these crazy Steam sales causing impulse buys, PlayStation Plus, and Games with Gold, along with new releases that I regularly buy, I find myself digging a deeper and deeper hole of games that I have yet to play. Thanks. And by the way, love the show.
Oh, thanks, man. Your phone was weird. Kind of staticky. Some kind of strange popping sound. Gaming backlog is a real problem for everybody involved. Maybe more than ever. I'm sure there are a few people out there who are still just grabbing one game and then they play it till they beat it and they don't look at anything else until they're done. I'd be curious how many of you that is. So you can email and tell me, but I'm sure you exist. You fair, unique, snowflake of a creature. You somehow exist in 2014. I, however, am part of the problem. I want to try all the new experiences, and I want to have all the good deals, and I want to have all the games. I want to have it all. And because I want to have it all, the industry has bellied up to the bar and said, here, you can have it all, and you can have it on the cheap, sometimes on the free. And you're not going to have time for any of it. It's weird. I almost long for the mid-90s when I could go buy a PlayStation 1 game and, you know, that was all there was. There was no other option. you could have other consoles, but then there would only be one game there too. You'd play it until you beat it, and then you'd hopefully get another one, but nothing would come out for a few months. So it's like, well, Mortal Kombat's not out till this Christmas, so I guess we'll just wait for that. New Zelda game's not out for a year or whatever, you know? Now it's just so many experiences. Indie has just flooded the market with great experiences. I'm not saying it's all crap either. There's a lot of crap, but there's a lot of great stuff. I don't want to be in a different era. This is the era to be in if you love video games, but it's also the era to be in if you want to hoard and have a ton of them on your hard drives and on your consoles that you never play or touch, that you fully intended to, or games that you would have normally finished and beat, but you got halfway through and then something awesome came out and you were like, ah, what's that? And you went and got distracted and played that instead. It's an odd time, man. Very odd time. So I feel you. I'm with you. I feel you right here. Let's get to the news. Big healthy dose of the news. It's Monday, by the way. It's the Monday edition of the show. Big happy birthday to Sega Genesis, the Sega Genesis, known in Japan as the Mega Drive. I think it was also called that in Europe, was it not? I think that's right. I have some music from that. I don't. That's Mario.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not Sonic at all. I apologize. That console, the Genesis, is 25 years old. Do you guys realize how old that is? A quarter of a century ago. Some kid who was born the day the Genesis came out is 25 years old now, this week. He's an adult-ass adult. Think of that, right? I picked mine up, got Sonic, I think it was a bundle. Sonic the Hedgehog, the original there, when that was a cool thing to get. This is back when they were running ads that made Mario look bad, and I was kind of buying into the whole Sega thing. Yeah, that was a fun console. It had its problems and its issues, and there was a lot of things about it that did not stack up to the Super NES when it launched. And the SNES, I think, by the end of that generation, dominated that generation, but the Genesis held its own, did really well. And there's, you know, likely no other reason why Sega continued to thrive except the Genesis was a huge success. And they took a very edgy approach to it. They kind of spoke to a different kind of generation. It was good. They were definitely a console for the 90s in a lot of ways. And I have a lot of fond memories of the Genesis. I own the original Genesis. I own the Sega CD add-on. I own the newly revamped Genesis. They put out a new model that was smaller. Instead of having the cartridge going on the left or far right side, whatever it was right in the center. I had the old 3-button controllers and then bought the 6-button little controllers when those came out. I had a 32X, which was their little 32-bit add-on. I had the Sega CD Genesis combo that was called the CDX, which cost $400-something, and I went into debt for that stupid thing. It was a waste of money, but I really wanted it. The Nomad, I had a Sega Nomad for a while, which is another portable device they had. So everything to do with the Genesis, I pretty much had it. I had it all. Had the front loader Sega CD and the platter version of the Sega CD. And I had a Game Gear, which is not related to the Genesis, but you know what I mean. I was big into that stuff, man. Sega owned me for a while. Journey the Unfinished Swan. Sorry, Journey and the Unfinished Swan. Both. PS3 darlings. Remember those? Are set to launch as cross-buy games on PS4, thanks to the numerous people who mentioned this on our Reddit at boopshow.reddit.com. You can contribute there if you want. We'll do articles from there. They're going to be cross-buy games on the PS4. Here's a quote. This is from joystick.com. And actually, this is them quoting Sony, I believe. Once Journey is downloaded, you'll be able to download it for free on any other platform available through the PlayStation Network, much like how Flow and Flower were launched on the PS4, which means I already own it then. Does that mean I already own it? I guess it is. It's just now hitting me. I already own Journey. I'll just get it again. Because I didn't have to pay for those things. Flow or Flower, they were free because I already own them. Anyway. In other words, and this also applies to the Unfinished One. In other words, if you already own either game on the PS3, you'll be able to enjoy them on the PS4 at no additional cost. That's the bottom line. That's exciting. I like when they do this kind of thing. It's like a nice little bonus, right? We didn't plan on being free. They seem to be doing right by that. You know, these kinds of things I was worried about. Oh, you're going to make me buy that again because it was so good. Now you're going to HDify it and make it even better and you're going to make me buy that again. Nope. They gave it to me. And that's super, super rad.
Hey, this is Josh from Houston and love the show. And I was just curious on what your favorite retro video game console and retro favorite retro video game is. All right, thanks.
Favorite retro game console. You know, it's hard. What's the cutoff for retro? Is it like N64 PS1 era? Is it for that? Because that's a rough call. Probably going to say, okay, let's say it's 16-bit era and back, okay? Just for fairness. Because honestly, my favorite game of all time is probably still Mario 64. Very close to, and then Ocarina of Time right after that. So it would be easy to say, oh, N64 and those two games. But let's go further back than that. Let's say it's older than that. Let's say it's 16-bit and under. And in that case, I'm staying with Nintendo here. Probably going to go with Super Mario World on the SNES. That game really did it for me, man. That was something special. Still the best 2D Mario game ever made, I think. Well, some could argue with me. 3 is interesting. World just knocked it out of the park, in my opinion. Great call, by the way. Diablo 2 maps in Minecraft will fill you with nostalgia. Isn't that what you wanted? Even though the Arcane Sanctuary and the jungles of Act 3 in Diablo 2 were not the nicest maps with their unforgiving layout and enemies, there's something in Laz Rippers, is that his name? Laz the Rippers? Minecraft creation that makes me want to log in and check those out again. This is according to Kotaku.com, and they look great. If you have fond memories of Act 1, especially, because you're going to just notice, as soon as you see this screenshot, you go, oh my gosh, yeah, that's Diablo 2 there. If you're a fan and you want to go talk to Blocky Deckard Cain, I'm going to recommend it. Star Citizen teases racing and first-person shooting. Boy, they keep breaking the money in, too, those guys. I didn't do any of the support or the backing on this. And it's kind of a game I'm very into wanting. But is it just me, or does it feel like Star Citizen is aiming for a... not the word isn't uppity. They're aiming for a gamer who likes to rub it in everyone else's face that he's part of it. Does that make sense? It's hard for me to explain what it is. There's a snoot factor going on with that game. I'll probably play it. Surely I'll buy it. But I haven't contributed to this $50 million behemoth that it is now. But they apparently are putting in some other weird stuff. They got kind of a racing mode that looks a lot like Wipeout. Not Wipeout the bump people off of sticks game that you see on TV. I mean, like Wipeout the flying ship game, racing hovercraft deal. And a first-person shooter mode. And that looked really good. So I don't know what to think of that game now. I don't even know what we're playing. Are we playing the ultimate game ever made? Is that what this is? It somehow straddles at least these and many more genres and makes them all work? Because usually that's a mess, right? Usually your racing game is no good with your on-the-ground game and then vice versa. Your racing game is no good with shooting. Like, there are plenty of examples of where these things never kind of mesh. But Star Citizen, man. These guys are going for broke. You guys see that weird Madden 15 commercial? I hope you saw it. It's weird. It's really weird. Kind of made me want to play it. And I don't like Madden. I like football. I like video game football. And I'm one of those guys that was like diehard 2K, NFL 2K5. Player, right? Back then in 2005, before they lost the license and everybody had to go EA. I really liked that game and I was super pissed that they got that deal over at EA. So I kind of have avoided it. I haven't bought it since. Played it a few times, rented it, but I've never bought it. And I got to tell you, that crazy commercial kind of got me back into it. Just a tiny, tiny bit. There are parents who are now going to jail for playing WoW instead of feeding their damn kids. Lester Lewis Huffmeyer and his wife Petra Huffmeyer have been sentenced to 5 years and 3 years in prison, respectively, for obsessively playing World of Warcraft while keeping their two young daughters locked inside their filthy mobile home for years without adequate food or basic care. That is a quote from the court. KTLA reports that the couple arrested last year pleaded guilty to two felony counts of child abuse, two misdemeanor counts of false imprisonment, and one misdemeanor count of contributing to delinquency of a minor. Now, I don't just blame WoW for this. I blame these gnarly people for this. But it is an interesting thing. I wonder if you were on the Blizzard campus. Do you think these stories come up? I mean, they must, right? Something like this hits the news and Morhaime's like, oh boy, another one of those. That's never good PR because people who don't understand the game or whatever, they jump to their own conclusions. Let's put it that way. But I got to think they bring it up. It at least comes up at the cafeteria, right? They're all hanging around. You got PR people, sales guys, a couple of devs. Hey, did you hear about that couple? I wonder. I mean, I know people there, but I'm afraid to ask. Because it's a little weird. I should ask. Metal Gear Solid's Hideo Kojima, working on a new Silent Hill game. Reported by many, submitted to our subreddit by JM Bean. Thank you, JM Bean. I'll just call you Jim Bean, I guess. Amid all the announcements at Sony's pre-Gamescom press conference, this is last week, one stood out as particularly baffling. Blah, blah, blah. The brief mention of an immediately downloadable PS4 playable teaser for a horror game simply being called PT from Unknown Studios 7780. The mystery has now been solved. PT has been revealed to be a stealth announcement for a new Silent Hill game with the Metal Gear Solid creator Hideo Kojima. And I watched a bunch of it online and thought, well, I should at least try to play it. And I fired it up and I'm terrified and I can't do it. I'm a giant puss when it comes to stuff like this. So, yeah. I mean, I've told somebody on some show about how the original Silent Hill just about put me in a mental institution. I swear that game just scared me so bad. And it was an old, crappy looking PS1 title, but it really got to me. And I never played 2 or 3 or any of the crappy sequels that came later, which is probably good because I heard they weren't very good. But 2 was good, right? 2 was supposed to be good. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to play it. And I saw some of this and went, nope. I don't know. I love Norman Reedus. He's great. Probably it's not going to matter. It's terrifying me. I couldn't make it 5 steps without just wanting to run and die. I don't do horror games, man. I don't know how people do them. I mean, they're obviously not that bad because millions of people play them. But to me, woo, can't do it. Buyers beware. A Kickstarter has gone silent. Oh, no. Oh, no. TNZ sent this via Reddit. This actually went up a little while ago, but I missed it the first time, so I wanted to bring it up here. The Stomping Land went to Kickstarter last summer seeking $20,000. They came away with more than $114,000. That is a big success, I think, no matter how you measure it. Wouldn't you agree? The early access launch took place on May 23rd of this year, and the big first content update focused on balancing and optimization was released one Earth week later. Another Kickstarter update followed the next day. According to PC Gamer, that was May 30th, they said they promised in that update, quote, development is still in full force, unquote, and asking for suggestions on the future of the game. But since then, developer has gone completely AWOL, totally silent, not a word. Backers are starting to think it's not going to go well. If you go read some of the comments, like, oh, gosh. But did you guys pay attention to that thing at all? That Kickstarter, is that one you backed? Honestly, the story, I hadn't heard of it until this story. So to me, it was new. I'm on the Kickstarter page now. It had 4,427 backers. Dude in Florida is behind it, which, I'm not saying anything about Florida, but you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying. Let's see what we got. I'm just going to read a comment or two. These are never good. Are anyone getting the books? Someone asks. No, none of the physical rewards. It's a real shame. See, we got fooled. This ripped the good intentions of the general indie support out of my heart. Never giving another Kickstarter dollar to a relative unknown game developer again. See, this is the risk we run, because really interesting things can come out of Kickstarter and really interesting projects can emerge, and total unknown studios have a chance to really prove themselves. But when you don't have the ability to do your follow through, then you're hosing it. You're hosing yourself and you're hosing the movement. And there are a lot of people who probably feel like that last guy. Here's part of the video. See what we get here. The Stomping Land.
The Stomping Land is a multiplayer survival game about dinosaurs. You are a hunter, and your primary source of food is dinosaur meat.
Well, anyway, it looks all right. Video I'm looking at looks okay, but that voiceover is pretty bad. Anyway, if any of you got hosed on that deal, I feel bad for you, and I'm super sorry about it. We got some emails to read today, and I'm going to read them right now. And there is jack poop you can do about it. All right? Here is an email from Steve from Marshall, Michigan. He says, I have been becoming increasingly frustrated. I think he should shorten his words. I've been increasingly frustrated by publishers. He could have saved himself a bunch of words. Anyway, pushing their crappy network that I must sign into in order to have enhancements and features in the game. Take a game like Batman Origins or Darksiders 2. Both had secondary network logins that I had to register for and spend time setting up. Is all this really worth it for something that I'm going to be playing for a couple of weeks and then move on from? I don't think it is. I sort of want to tell them to stick my email up their gigantic pooper. What do you think? Take care and keep up the great work. Steve. Well, Steve, thanks for the visual. No, I'm with you, Steve. I hate that stuff so bad. And some are more egregious than others. I remember when 38 Studios launched that game. What was the game now? I already forgot the name of the game. I love that game, but I forgot the name. Crap. The one that made it out before they went belly. Not the MMO. The other one. Anyway, Kingdoms of Amalur. That's it. That game came out and it had a login thing when you turn it on. But you could skip it. You didn't have to do it. That I can deal with. If you want my info, but it's optional, no problem, dude. I don't mind hitting B to get past your BS. Or if it's something I'm interested in, I'll sign up for it. But give me the damn option. If it's mandatory, F off. Also, Games for Windows Live, which was part of that original Batman install. Well, the first two Batman games. Terrible. Awful for the Windows community. So glad that stuff's gone now. It's out of those games specifically. Darksiders 2, I don't remember. I don't remember having to log into that. I just remember that game not being as good as it could have been. That's all I remember there. Anyway, you're not wrong there, Steve. Screw secondary logins. That's today's motto. Got another email here from Tom G. He says, keep him. Don't stop the user review segment on Boop, please. I'm not sure why some of your listeners think it's mean. The reviews you're reading are posted on public forums. It's not like you're reading someone's private emails or something. Sure, they are probably foreign gamers whose first language is not English, but that doesn't make it mean. I look forward to being in the Utah, he says. Tom G. That's a reference to our morning show here on the Frog Pants Network at frogpants.com/TMS for details. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know yet. I haven't decided what I'm going to do. I think I'm just going to make them less. Maybe I'll make it a Thursday deal. Like, that's what we do on Thursdays, and we do mostly emails on Mondays. What do you think about that? Does that seem like a reasonable solution to an otherwise not all that complicated problem? That in the larger scheme of things doesn't really hurt us or harm us or help us. Got an email about the Kinect from Audie. Says, hi, Scott. I feel someone needs to play devil's advocate when it comes to the Xbox One and Kinect and its initial vision for the Xbox One. On the last episode of Boop, you said Microsoft doesn't want the Kinect. I'm not saying they don't want it. I'm saying they're reacting to market forces that make them have to backseat that thing. Anyway, says, I disagree. It was gamers who didn't want the Kinect. Well, yeah. Who do you think makes them not want it? If it's not selling or causing their console to not sell or is part of the problem, if it's a bigger problem, it's a piece of the puzzle. Yeah, that's a problem for them. I feel like instead of giving Microsoft at least a bit of a chance, despite obvious blunders on Microsoft's part for the message they put out requiring online only, etc., we've given up the chance to do more than just incremental upgrades to consoles. Now, this I agree with you on. Completely agree. But it's on Microsoft to sell it, man. It's on them to make it right and to make it good in the first place so that when we buy it, we aren't buying hoke and fakery, that the Kinect really is something special. Or if it's not, then tell us that. Or I don't know, something. But then don't make the console 100 more. Like, there's just all kinds of problems with it. You know what I mean? But I agree with you. It's... all of us putting our foot down saying don't change things is not good for the industry either. I totally agree with that. It just needs to work really well, and it doesn't. Anyway, it just feels like we as gamers, by saying we just don't, we just want the coolest box with the coolest graphics to play games and nothing else, we've given up the opportunity to let MS or anyone else have the ability to do something better. Now, we get more arguing about who got true 1080p on their machine. I can't say this is the wrong decision for Microsoft, but part of me laments it for gaming in general. Sorry to be so long. Have to say thanks for actually pronouncing my name correctly. It happens so often. Still digging the show. Keep it up, Audie. All right. Did I say it right this time? I hope I did. Yeah, I don't know. That argument, we could go on for days, dude. It's kind of a mess. That whole thing's a mess. And with these new bundles... They are clearly distancing themselves, whether you want to believe that or not. That is what they're doing. They can't entirely do it. Now they got to support the thing through the whole generation, but I don't know if it's part of their future plan or not. And I think VR might be the thing that's... Part of this is VR is going to change stuff. And VR kind of makes Kinect look like a weird stepping stone, doesn't it? It suddenly seems kind of obsolete in the face of it. Now, that has yet to prove itself on a mass market level. So I'm not saying VR is the big thing yet. I think it has a lot of things to prove. But if it can prove what it promises, what is the point of Kinect at that point? Because then all the motion tracking in the world's only going to matter in a VR context, right? Positional stuff and all that. Kinect won't matter at all at that point. Except maybe the voice command stuff, which, again, is not a thing you need a fancy camera for. So... that's what I think is going on here. I think the writing's on the wall. Morpheus is looming. Oculus Rift is here and ready to loom harder. And, you know, they're kind of going, half measure this Kinect thing. Bit of a half measure, wouldn't you say, boys? Yes, we say it is. We agree. That's my thinking. Final email from Tom Walter. It says, WTF is Reddit. Or he says, what the F is a Reddit, he says. He says this, hi Scott, we're roughly the same age, and for the life of me, I don't get what the heck this Reddit thing is. I've checked it out, and it seems to be a bunch of nonsense for him. I don't get it. Just saying, the grumpiest old fart in the vampire state, Tom Walter, that's Pennsylvania. All right, man, look. Just because we don't get what the kids are doing. No, this is on you, dude. I totally get what it is. Reddit makes perfect sense to me. And there are some dark corners in Reddit. There's also some happy, cool stuff going on there, but woo, there's some stuff. So just tread lightly. Think of it as you're not wrong about it being kind of a big forum, but a very different kind of forum than forums used to be. I mean, it's different. The method to the madness is different than a traditional forum, but the end result's kind of the same. So think of it that way. You kind of now already know what Reddit is. Look what I've done for you. I've helped you. Saddle on up to the bar, cowboy, and listen to me tell you what I've been playing and what I think you should be playing. You don't have to do anything I tell you, okay? I'm not your doctor. I'm not your religious leader. I'm certainly not your father. Or am I? Ziggurat on the PC is a game I'm playing right now, and it's in early access, which I know for a lot of people is dangerous news. You don't want to play something that's not finished. You don't want to subsidize developers before their product is complete with no guarantee they'll actually do what you hope they do. I know we're all getting a little tired of that. However, Ziggurat's a good example of when it can go right. They already have a really playable kind of finished game. And while I'm sure they're adding new things, and there's a couple of complaints I have that are kind of small and mostly technical, that's a really pretty game. And it's, imagine a roguelike like Rogue Legacy or Spelunky or something like that, where you have some progress that carries through. But each time you go in, it's random. It's all first-person shooter. It's like Hexen in a modern engine. I'm guessing it's Unity, by the way, the engine, because it just feels like a Unity game. But anyway, you run around with a wand and other like weapons, magic weapons that you pick up and earn mana for throughout the matches. Walk into a room that's completely randomly generated, kill a bunch of dudes, get a bunch of XP and gold, go back, unlock new abilities, level up as you go. But again, once you're dead, you're dead. You get these portal keys, get to the final boss, kill the boss, go on to another level. There's harder enemies in there. Things get real crazy real quick, and I love it. It's totally my game. Totally my kind of game from top to bottom. There's no multiplayer in it, at least not now. It's a single-player experience, although I think co-op would be super rad, and I hope they do that one day. It's really good, and I did a video of it, so you can find it on the YouTube channel, which is, I don't know where that's linked. Is it linked on the page? I don't know. Frogpants.com, you'll find my YouTube channel there. And it's good. Ziggurat, play it. It's awesome. It's rad. Also, I got the Diablo 3. Check it out right here. Hear this? Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition, Reaper of Souls, in my hands for the PlayStation 4, because I want to get the console experience for this thing. I've been playing the PC version, obviously, forever, and have an entire podcast that will soon be having Season 2 devoted to it at the Diablo show. At frogpants.com/Diablo. And I'm really excited to crack this open, get the kids, sit down, have our way through some co-op Diablo, see if we can kill the primeval himself. Again. I loved it at BlizzCon, so I'm really excited to play it here at the house. Anyway, I'll report on that next time. How about that? Oh, you guys. That about puts us where we need to be. Dude, there is a fly in my studio right now. I'm gonna kill something. Seriously. Go away. He already flew into a bag of chips I can't eat now because there was a fly in there now. Nobody eats chips with flies in it. My daughter's in here. Carter, would you eat a chip if a fly landed on it? Would you throw those chips away? All right. Well, I'm not eating them. I'm just telling you right now. Thank you, everybody, for being here. If you want to know more about the show and check out the archives and everything that's going on, go to frogpants.com/boop. Boop. B-O-O-P. B as in boy. O-O. P as in Paul. Boop. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. Twitter is a place you can go and find us at Boop Show. You can find me at Scott Johnson. Either one works. I don't know. Get both. Do both. 206-339-1320 is where those phone calls came from. That's 206-339-1320. Leave us a message. Keep it short. Keep it interesting. Play it on the show. Boopshow.reddit.com. That's what I talked about earlier. Go there. Contribute. I pull stories from there each and every time we do a show. You can catch streaming repeats of the show at alphageekradio.com. Our music provided by the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra and the album Music for a 1950s Video Game. You can support me and the show by buying stuff at frogpants.com/store. That's the Frog Pants store, everybody. It's going to do it for me. We'll see you guys next time for another Boop Show. That'll be Thursday. Bye!
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.